Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. Today on Piano Jazz, we dip into our archives to remember pianist Albert Daly. Daly, who passed away in 1984, about a year after this program was recorded, was an often overlooked pianist during his lifetime. He was a true stylist, creating hypnotic harmonies and sparkling lyrical lines. Although he was an extremely versatile player, Daly is perhaps best remembered for his work with Woody Herman, Sarah Vaughan, and Stan Getz, though the compositions that he left behind suggested a talent still in development when he joined me in 1983 for this Piano Jazz.
It's great to have you here, Al Daly, and I'm really looking forward to hearing you play a solo.
Oh, thank you.
What have you got picked out for us?
Well, this is a song that I did on my very first album. My very first recording was for Columbia Records, and it was named after me, Daly Double.
Oh, I love that little play on words. That's great. And that's how you spell it, D-A-I-L-E-Y.
Yes, my Daly name.
Daly Double. Okay, off we go.
Thank you.
boy, that's some very impressive playing, Mr. Al Daly.
Thank you.
Goodness, I haven't heard you play in quite a while. I missed your date in New York recently, but I always remember you from, I think the first time I heard you was the first half note, you know, the original.
Hudson and Spring Street.
Hudson and Spring. And
I missed that place. Everybody that played there was really an outstanding act. I think it was booked more for artistry than, I don't know, it just seemed to be a lot of just great musicians playing there all the time. One of those rooms.
Yeah, well, it was a kick hearing you. And you were with who, Art Farmer's Group at that time?
Yes, I was with the Art Farmer's Quintet, and that it was a very fine group. It included Jimmy Heath on tenor saxophone, and Walter Booker was playing bass, and Mickey Rocco, who was a New York resident at that time.
Oh, he's one of my favorite drummers.
Oh, and we really had a ball. I played with Art for about almost 2 years, and we traveled. I mean, it was a really good group.
Well, you've got a fantastic list of credits. I mean, the people that you played with from...
Yes.
Because you were born in Baltimore.
Yes.
And is that where you studied?
Yes,
you have to have studied to have chops.
Absolutely. Well, I was very lucky because I was very interested in piano from a very early age. And if you maintained an A average, then you were entitled to take special courses.
You mean an A average in school?
Yes.
What an interesting idea. In other words, if you do that, then you can take...
Right.
It's not like it's a special treat. You can take
absolutely.
Something else.
So what they did, they had an accelerated class, and if you had an A average, you could pick what you wanted to specialize in. So yes. I picked music, and I had 3 hours of music every day from junior high school all the way up until college. I loved school, which is a start. I couldn't wait to get to school.
What? I mean, say that again. You
honest,
loved
I mean,
school?
I loved school. I mean, I would be there at 7 in the morning opening up the bank for all the students to save their money or doing something. I had to be involved in something. I was on the safety patrol, in the honor society, on the football team, and all the sports. I had to be involved. So, I mean, which in turn, it was like it worked very well for me because it kept me out of the street, so to speak. You know?
Yeah, and all the other things that people that don't have anything to do can get into.
But I can't emphasize to you how much I enjoyed it. It was just... And then when I found out that you could do more of your specialized thing by just keeping your grades up, well, you know, that just knocked me out.
I think that's just wonderful. I mean, there's something very special there. That's Booker T. Washington.
It was Booker T. Washington Junior High School.
In
but
Baltimore.
When I got to Douglas High School, which was the high school that was like, aside from Peabody Conservatory of Music, that was the best musical education I had up to that date. I mean, we were studying Walter Piston Harmony in the 10th grade. I mean, we were into counterpoint. They were trying to teach us how to introduce us into orchestration and playing other instruments, and if not being able to play them, knowing how to write for them, you know, the range, which is difficult for each instrument to play. I mean, it was a very rewarding experience for me.
No wonder you've got such a wonderful sense of harmony, such wonderful technique and good ideas. You know, you can see the result of all that work and enjoyment. You know, you just keep getting better. Hey, how about playing something else? That was your piece, Daly
Yes.
Double, right? And here's another one. What's this one
This
called?
One is called Indecision. The proverb being indecision is a decision with the passing of time.
Oh, he's a philosopher too.
Also.
Wonderful.
Yes, indecision. Thank you.
that's a great piece, Al. It's nice.
Thank you.
How do you feel about playing solo piano as opposed to all the different things you've done, like playing with the Woody Herman Band and accompanying singers, mm-hmm. and comping with a small group? I mean, it's all so different, isn't it?
Right. But I think one of the parts I enjoy most about music is playing solo piano. I think that it's probably, for a pianist, the most challenging and the most rewarding. That's after you've done, had experience in the other things that you mentioned. I enjoy it immensely. And solo is challenging. I mean, it's the weight is on you. You have to create the dynamics and the endings and the beginnings and put all kinds of harmonies or no harmonies. Or you can, it's just so many, the sky's the limit. That's
and
what I like.
The rhythm, about. You've got to be your own rhythm section.
Absolutely. That part I like too,
yeah.
Because I think sometimes pianists tend to forget that this is a percussion instrument, and you must, I think the best pianists, even though they're playing solo, if you listen well, they accompany themselves well too.
Speaking of, other forms of playing, how about a duet? Do you do that too often? Duets with other pianists?
Yes, and I enjoy that. That's another thing. Now, that's a whole other ballgame, but it can be very enjoyable, the things that we can get going between us.
Shall we try one, see what we can get going?
Absolutely.
All right. A little bit of Gone with the Wind, and for whoever's listening, I'm on the piano on the left, and you're on the one on the right.
Right.
And here we go. Thank you. lunch.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, that's a kick. It really is.
I enjoyed that.
Me too. We'll do some more. Meanwhile, you have such a nice record out. Well, I guess by this time it's not really that new, but called Textures on Muse.
Yes, it's on the Muse label.
Muse. And you do a couple of very pretty tunes on there. One of them, of course, is that Duke Ellington tune. I can't think of the name of it now.
I didn't know about you.
That's such a nobody does that anymore.
It's one of my favorites, and I've always loved that song.
It's a great song. And the other one is a tune by Tad Dameron, which I would love it if you'd play that. If you could see me now, that's one of my all-time favorite tunes.
Oh, okay.
Would you do that?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. it's a stunning arrangement, Al Davies.
Thank you.
Is it an arrangement, or did you just do it? I mean, do you have it figured out a little bit ahead of time?
I'm afraid not.
Listen, I'm glad you said that, because I really didn't. I always think that's the essence of jazz playing.
I don't do that too much, Mary. I don't like doing that. I always like to be spontaneous. I mean, because it's more challenging, I think, because you put yourself out there and you got to get back, you know.
No, but it really is. I probably said this too often, but it's really more fun doing that than having something all laid down and playing it more safe. You know, I know that was different from the way you did it on the record, of course, because you had a rhythm section there, so you had to be within certain bounds.
But if I did three different takes or five, it would be five different interpretations, believe me, because after you've done the first one, then you start thinking, oh, well, gee, I wish I had done this, or why didn't I do this, or I should have been softer there, or gee, I could have done a better ending. So the whole thing changes, you know.
I was going to ask you to play another duet with me. In fact,
yes.
In fact, I will ask you to play another duet with me.
But,
now, this is Night in Tunisia. There's a little set intro that goes with this thing. Do you do that?
Yes, we can do that.
All right. Let's see what happens. Thank you. know, halfway through that thing, I started to think, why didn't I just check about doing that interlude again? I'm thinking, if he goes back...
Well, I didn't hear you do it.
But I'm thinking... I almost screwed up. There's one more I almost left.
And then a G flat.
Yeah.
Right.
I think I sort of skated around it some way, but you know, I was.
Well, anyway, I think it came out.
I guess one shouldn't have afterthoughts. On to the next tune.
Okay.
That's really fun. I haven't played that in a long time.
Yes, it's been a while. I mean, we don't get a chance to do them.
No.
Kinds of songs.
No, I know. I know. And that's such a good one.
Yes, it is.
Hearing Dizzy play that thing. Birdland. And I could get into a whole reminiscent bit about all those good clubs. How about another of your original tunes?
Yes.
A solo number.
Okay. I'd like to... play for you on this same album, Textures, on the Muse label. I wrote a song for my cat. Now, this happened to be a very unusual cat.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, I've had animals most of my life, not just adult life. And this cat was the most unusual cat I've ever met. I mean, it was just, he was so psychic and so together, and he was. He used to come on, and I'd be sleeping in the room, and he'd come and run across the piano. That would mess my mind up because there was nobody else in the apartment, supposedly. And I heard the piano playing.
Did he play a tune?
Well, he had some very interesting chords. Beautiful dissonance.
It's funny. I've done that with one of our cats. And it's funny, you can take the cat and sort of plank it down on the piano, and then I decide to play what chords its feet play. Is that the kind of thing that happened with you, your cat?
Well, not exactly. I just, he inspired me. I heard this melody, I mean, because he was so much a part of my life. And at that time, I was searching for what I'm doing now, nutrition, getting my body together, how to maintain so I can be around for a while, so I can, you know, continue to grow, et cetera, et cetera. So this cat was just, I don't know. I mean, they don't speak, but they do other things. I mean, they've been around since the pyramids, so they must know something.
Yeah, I love cats. We could get into a whole thing. Well, if you can call Mr. Pogo,
cats.
Is that the name of it?
Mr. Pogo.
Oh, great. Thank you. that is some cat. I love that. What's that? Let's see. Oh, what's that? What's that called?
It's like an E major over D. You know, an E triad over D. Yeah, right.
I love that.
Isn't
you know, like the cat stops and looks around.
That's right.
That's really terrific. It's a great piece.
Thank you.
Oh, for people just tuning in, I'm Marion McPartland. This is my guest, Albert Daly. And we're having a lot of fun. At least I am.
I'm enjoying it. Yes, I am.
Well, I'm gonna do a solo for you now.
Oh,
and
please do.
I thought I'd pick a Harold Arlen tune since we just you were over that night to Michael's Pub and you heard us doing our thing. I'm still very imbued with the aura of Harold Arlen's writing. So.
Oh, one of my favorite composers of all times. He wrote so many beautiful songs. I mean, I didn't realize that he had written so many of them. I mean, because we played songs for years, and I'm just learning that you should know all the composers and the verses and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And he wrote quite a few beautiful songs.
Well, I didn't even scratch the surface, really, but this has always been one of my favorite tunes. Well, I guess I first heard it when Frank Sinatra did it years ago on an album called The Wee Small Hours.
Oh.
That album just got to me, and I've always loved this tune. And it's called Last Night When We Were Young.
Oh, yes. That was very moving.
It's a pretty song, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely, and just played it beautifully.
It's funny, that's one of the few songs I seem to stick to the song and not be able to get away from it. It's not because I couldn't think of something to improvise on, but it just seems like the song and the lyrics are so pretty.
Absolutely.
You have to just stay right
there.
The
way you're utilizing the space and those beautiful harmonies you're playing, well, it's, you don't have to improvise on every song, I don't believe. I mean, it's not a, you know, I agree with the way you're doing that.
It's funny, I played it a lot and it still comes out, I guess because I'm thinking of the lyric. Do you think of lyrics when you play certain songs?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, especially ballads, you know, I'm incorrigibly or incurably romantic, I guess.
Me too. Well, that's another thing you learn from singers, too, to be aware of the lyric and what the song is saying and the message. And it helps you in your interpretation of, you know, performing it.
This is awful, Al Daly. We're finished. I mean, we're almost. Oh, we've only got another song.
It seemed to have gone so fast.
I know, but I think we've done a lot. It's been such a kick playing with you, hearing you play. I think, and I know I've said this many times, but I think two pianos is a great way of learning about somebody.
Yes, it does.
It's like getting into a golf or tennis match or something.
Right.
You see how the other person operates.
Right. And if they're able to compete and to give up something at the same time. See, when you play solo piano, you also have to give up something so you can blend with the other person, see?
That's true.
So it's quite challenging.
But right? it is, because sometimes you can really... years ago, we used to have a friend who gave parties, and people always played two pianos at these parties, you know. And some people would sit down and just, wham, take over the whole keyboard.
Right, see?
Like all over the whole piano.
Well, that won't work with two people.
It won't. It's more fun this way. Let's do another number.
Okay.
But before we do, thank you again.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure, really.
Well, let's wind up with something by Cole Porter and maybe a little up-tempo.
All right.
You start it out. Okay. Surprise me. wonderful.
Yes, I enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland and her guest Albert Daly in a program from 1983. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Dick Phipps, recording engineer Mike Moran, mastering engineer Sherry Hutchinson, executive producer William D. Hay. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR. Digital conversion and restoration was made possible by Save America's Treasures through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service Department of the Interior. The original broadcast was made possible by a grant from Exxon Corporation. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And MetLife Foundation, committed to promoting healthy families and good nutrition, on the web at metlife.org. This is NPR.